Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Verse 16. The Bible says, "Woe to thee, O land, when thy king is a child, and thy princes eat in the morning. Woe to thee, O land, when thy king is a child, and thy princes eat in the morning." This morning, what we're speaking about is captioned the civilian kings. Civilian kings. We preached a message some time ago captioned Tribulations of a Servant King from this text in one of our Bible studies. So this one, the Lord is calling it civilian kings. Look at that text. The preacher is saying, "Woe to thee, O land, when your king is a child and your princes eat in the morning." I began to meditate on this text, and the Lord began to speak new things to me from this text, different from that of the tribulations of the servant king, even though we preached that message from this same text. God brought the man David to my mind. I believe all of us know David. David was a king. He was both a king. He was a prophet. He was a priest. David operated in every ministry you can think of. But this morning, the Lord wants to speak to a set of people, which myself is included. And who are these persons God wants to speak to? These are the people that God refers to as kings. Kings. Hold your Bible in that Ecclesiastes 10. Just move to Revelations 5 verse 10 while you are holding Ecclesiastes. Revelations 5 verse 10. See what the scripture says in Revelations 5 verse 10. It says, "And he has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." He has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. Who has God made kings? Who has he made priests? Us, me and you. He has made us unto God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Not angels, but humans like myself and you. Civilian kings. What the Lord is picking up here is that as long as you are found in Christ, you are not an orphan. You are not a spiritual orphan. You are not a nobody in the spirit realm. But you are referred to as a king. No wonder Jesus said, "I am the King of kings." So I told us one certain time that Jesus being the King of kings, it means that he's the king, he's the supreme king of other lower kings, which is us. We are kings. So don't look at it that Jesus is the King of kings like he's the king over other Gentile kings and all of that. No, it is first we that are partakers of his inheritance. So he has made us kings and priests unto our God, and we shall reign on earth. Now, I want you to have this mindset. You that is hearing me, as long as you are born again, I want you to know that you are a king. So because you are a king, you are now qualified to be talked to in this manner. It is because of your position and your posture in the spirit realm that this word is coming to you. He has made us kings and priests unto our God. Have this at the back of your mind, that you are a king, you are a priest, not to men, but to God. Now back to our scripture, our text in Ecclesiastes. Back to our text in Ecclesiastes. He said, woe to thee, O land, when your king is a child and your princes eat in the morning. God now is talking to the land where their kings are children. I want us to know and to understand that kings are designed to reign. And as spiritual kings, we are designed to reign over darkness in dominion. As priests, God has made us priests in order to perform spiritual sacrifices and oblations in the place of intercession. The priest is known for intercession. The king is known for dominion. So God has made us kings and priests unto our God. Remember in the old covenant, when you hear of the priests, what the priests go to do is that there is the evening and there is the morning and the evening sacrifice. They go and they make oblations unto God and the incense goes to God. And that is the office of the priest. That is their duty. Daily they do these things. So now, beyond the literal one, we are spiritually priests to God, all of us. And we are also made kings unto our God. But the Lord is identifying something that appears to be a problem here. What the Lord is identifying is something that appears to be a problem. That is when the king is a child and the princes eat in the morning. If you want to understand this text, I will advise you listening to that message, Tribulations of a Servant King. But on this matter, for the civilian kings, God is trying to speak to us with the life of David. I've told us now that David functioned as a king, a priest, and a prophet over Israel. And David is a template for the believer in Christ. Is a template for us. We are kings to God spiritually. We are priests to God spiritually. And we are prophets unto our God. The Bible said, for we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people called out of darkness into his marvelous light. So, know that you are a king. But as a king, God is identifying a problem that he wants to be solved. What is that problem? It is when the king is a child. When the king is a child. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 11. 2 Samuel chapter 11. I'm going to show something there. 2 Samuel 11. I read from verse 1 to 2. He said, and it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. Look at 2. And it came to pass in an even time, in the evening, that David arose from his bed and did what? He arose from his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof, he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. Pause. The Lord brought an example of David's life in this matter. Have you seen the first line of chapter or verse 1 of this chapter 11, verse 1? And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle. At the time when kings go forth to battle. The Lord began to tell me that making us spiritual kings, we are called to battle. We are called to battle. No wonder Paul said, fight a good warfare. He said that to Timothy. No wonder Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus and told them that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That there is a wrestling going on. No wonder Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. He said to them, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That's to say, there is a fight for kings. There is a spiritual battle for kings. And the kings are not those gentle kings, you know. It's not whether Oba of Benin or Obi of Onitsha. It is me and you. Those ones spiritually, they are nowhere. They are nowhere. The kings God is speaking to, they are myself and you. So at the time when the kings go forth to battle, there is a battle for every king. There is a battle. At the time when kings go forth to battle, what did David do? The Bible said, and when the kings were to go forth to battle, David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. They destroyed all the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, and David tarried at Jerusalem. David stayed back. Are you seeing? David did not go for this battle, but he stayed back. He tarried. And that was the time when kings ought to go for battle. The enemy kings had presented themselves, but David sent his men and he stayed back. He stayed back. When David stayed back, what happened to him next? The next thing that happened to David was the greatest undoing in his walk with God. The greatest undoing in his life. The greatest undoing in his lineage and generation. Only staying back. Look at the next line in verse 2. And it came to pass in the evening, because he stayed back, he was idle. He was idle. Someone said an idle mind is a devil's workshop. I don't know where they imported that from, but there is great truth in it. He was idle. And the next day, Satan navigated his eyes. Satan navigated his eyes. He said, and David rose from his bed. What pushed him up from his bed? Something pushed him. He said, and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof, he saw a woman bathing naked. David saw a woman bathing naked. A woman bathing naked. And very beautiful to look upon. He could not take off his eyes. And what did he do next? Since lust has overwhelmed him, look at verse 3. And David sent and inquired after the woman. He said he wants to know the woman. He told them to bring the woman. They brought her, Bathsheba. And when they brought her, what David did in this matter is not called sin. Eh? There is sin, there is transgression, there is iniquity. That one is rank iniquity. What David did in this matter is called iniquity. That one is the one that after God finished dealing with you, the land has been corrupted. Generations will come and be reaping from it. David said, bring this woman to me. They brought her. And David fornicated with her. I don't want to call it hard sex. He fornicated with her, another man's wife. And guess what? The woman's husband is a general in the army. He was fighting that battle. He had gone for battle and David was sleeping with his wife. Civilian king. David slept with this woman, and the next thing, the woman came to him. If you read throughout chapter 11, you understand. The woman came to him and said, "I'm now pregnant." David said, "Okay." David did not want to end the matter there and go and ask for mercy. He continued the journey. The Bible talked about adding sin to sin. David continued this journey. And what did David do? David told Joab to tell the husband of this woman, put the letter in his hand. He wrote the letter, gave the man. The man didn't know what was in that letter. He was carrying the letter of his destruction to go and give to the place where they would kill him. He did not read that letter. And the man was very loyal. Matter of fact, when David told him to go home, bath and sleep, he said, "No, he can't go home and bath. How can he go to the house when the armies of Israel, they are sleeping in tents in the wilderness, fighting battles for the God of Israel? How can he go home and sleep?" He said, "No, my king, I will not do this one. I want to sleep outside here." This man understood timings. But David had already been seduced by a strange spirit. And the spirit that seduced David did not leave him there. He gave Uriah, the name of the woman's husband, gave Joab the letter. And in the letter, I paraphrase, David said, "Take him to the foremost of the battle. There is the vanguard and there is the rear. The vanguard is the front. Take him to the where the battle is hot. Let him stand there so that he will die." That was what David said. David said so that he will die. Look at verse 15. Civilian kings. Verse 15 of the 2 Samuel 11. "I didn't imagine that David would have written this kind of thing." Look at 15. Look at 14 to 15. "And it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah." He wrote a letter to Joab, gave it to the person that was to be killed, carried his letter to go and give to the general commander. Look at 15. "And he wrote in the letter saying, 'Set ye Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle and retire ye from him.'" When you keep him there, run away. Leave him alone. "That he may be smitten and die." David said, "Take him to the front of the battle. When you have dropped him there, leave him alone, so that he would die." What could have made David utter something like this? I remember while reading Psalm 51 verse 10, David said, "Create in me, O Lord, a new heart, and restore the right spirit within me." Restore the right. The Lord began to tell me that another spirit had possessed David. This man was possessed at this point. Are you hearing me? For David to say, "Restore the right spirit within me." So there was a wrong spirit in oppression in this man. Look at Psalm 51 verse 10. Psalm 51 verse 10. Civilian kings. Psalm 51 verse 10. Look at 9 to 10. This has justified what I said about David. So it will not be that a preacher stood and was condemning David. No. Look at what the scripture says. 9 and 10. "Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities." Are you seeing what David said? "And blot out all my iniquities." This was when he was repenting. Look at verse 10. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." So while he was doing this thing, another spirit had possessed him. What will make a man after God's heart? To put his own commander in a position that the man will die and tell every other person, "Leave him, let him die there." He wanted the man to die so that he takes over the man's wife. But this journey began from the times when kings had to go for battle and David stayed back. That was the genesis of it. The Lord began to tell me that the believer, who is a supposed king, ought not to play a civilian in matters of spiritual warfare. A believer who is a supposed king, who still plays as a child in spiritual things, will suffer reckless abandon in the hands of the devil. At the time when kings go for war, David stayed back. This thing that David did, the result of that union, that baby died. God allowed the baby to die. And God spoke to Nathan the prophet, said, his kingdom shall be divided because of this. Even though the kingdom was not divided in the time of David, in the time of his son, it was divided. As a result of this, I don't know, I've told us before, Solomon multiplied that spirit and married how many wives, how many concubines from that lineage. That thing flowed. Because of this thing too, David's son rose up, his beloved Absalom rose up, took the heart of Israel. The heart of the entire Israel went after him. Absalom pursued David from the throne. David left the throne. He began to live in the caves. Absalom pursued him. The king was now in the forest. And his concubines, what did Absalom do? Had to sleep with them. At the time when kings go for war, the Lord began to tell me that when the ordained deliverer of a family is still immature in spiritual things, the family's deliverance will linger. That's one of the things the Spirit of the Lord was telling me from this message. There is an ordained deliverer in every family, someone that is to bear the burden of the family in the place of intercession as a priest, in the place of spiritual dominion as a king. When that person is still playing civilian, the family will suffer. Maybe you are hearing me and you are the appointed deliverer to your family. You are that one God has raised a king to bring liberation to your family, and you are still playing a child. The Bible said, woe to thee, O land, when the king is a child. Who will suffer it? The land. It's not the king that is playing infanthood that will suffer it. It's the land. When God prepared you for the liberation of your family, liberation of your generation or whatsoever, and you are still playing a child, it is those people that God expected you to deliver that will suffer it. That's why God does not want us to play civilian anymore. There is a price that comes with it. Every king is designed to be a warrior. Every king is designed to be a warrior. The scripture says, at the time when the kings go to war. At the times when the kings go to war. You saw that scripture? It says, woe to thee, O land, when thy king is a child, and thy princes eat in the morning. Thy princes, the first thing in the morning is food they are thinking about. When they should be strategizing, planning for the way forward, for the land. What they are looking for is bread and tea. When your princes eat in the morning that are supposed to be brainstorming, first of all, mapping out ways for development, they are feasting in the morning. It is still early. There are many people that are youths and it is still in their morning. It is time that God wants them to begin to prepare for the liberation of their families and generation, and they are feasting in the morning. Who will suffer? It's not just them alone. It's the land. It is the land. I beg your pardon. I want to let you know that the deliverance, the restoration of many is in your hand. But you don't know. In your hand, you may look at yourself as though you are not significant. But as surely as you are listening to me, there is something the Lord has deposited in you to use for the liberation of your family and your generation. But this set of people will suffer when you are still a baby. Every king is designed to be a warrior. A king that does not know the art of war will die on that dining table. Some will die on the dining table while they are feasting, because they don't understand the art of war. Many will die through poison. They are feasting at the time when kings go to war. There are prayer points for your family you should be solving by now. There are prayer points for your brothers, your sisters, your neighbors. There are prayer points for your generation you should be solving by now. But many of us are still feasting. It is the land that suffers. When the king in a denomination, like a pastor, a leader, is a babe in doctrine, despite the congregational numerical strength, that assembly will romance with error unto destruction. There are useless revelations flying everywhere. Somebody messaged me a few days ago, I mean 2 days ago, called a particular preacher in Nigeria, I wouldn't mention his name, is the foremost person in Africa that is leading this grace revolution. This, I call it this grace revolution. This revolution that they are telling you that no matter the sin you're committing, God is not seeing it. That it is your spirit that has been saved. Anything you do with your body, God does not care. As long as you confess Jesus as Lord and Savior, you are going to heaven. I said, these are demonic teachings. I wrote on social media, I say all these people that are teaching that we can rebel against God, and God is okay with it. I said, may your children begin to rebel you for you to understand. For you to begin to understand. When you tell your children, go to A, point A, let them go to point B, then you begin to understand how you know that God is not a machine. God has emotions. So preachers who are bathed in doctrines of eternal life, they will breed that it is the land that will suffer. It's the congregation that will suffer, because there will be malnutrition. You have many addicts there. People that are in homosexuality and they are happy about it. People that are living in masturbation, they will be relaxed. People that are living in immorality, and they will be relaxed, because the king is a child. And instead of him to bring bone for them to eat as adults, you're bringing milk. You're bringing milk for them to drink. The Bible says strong meat belongs to those who have come to age. Milk is for children. Woe to the land when the king is a child. There is woe to that family when the king God has designed their deliverer is still at the bear palo. That's where you find him. God appointed the deliverers of his family to his hand, and where you can find him is bear palo, or where they are playing gamble. That's where you can find him. Is the land that will suffer. Is the family. Forget that person. No, is the family that will suffer. An anointed woman, God has committed much anointing to pray liberation of her family, and she's opening leg for every man she sees. There is woe to that family. This one is not to go for prophetic service and they say, I receive. You are receiving nothing. You are receiving nothing. There is woe. He said, woe to thee, O land, when your king is a child. When your king is a child. Anywhere you find yourself and what they discuss is useless things that don't add to your spiritual maturity. Or God, break out. Cut off the relationship. You don't need it to make heaven. Any relationship that does not add to you substance, cut it out. It will not take you to heaven. Your cutting off too will not send it to hellfire. No, you be in peace, but you go to be in places where value will be added to you. Value, where value will be added. I told that young man, see that message, this preacher is preaching and giving you, just cut yourself from those people. Don't be hearing those noise. Even Jesus said, take heed how you hear. How you hear. Woe to the land when the king is a child. There is great woe in the Nigerian church now. Great woe. I told us one Saturday, last two Sundays, a particular prophet that used to pay people to do miracles, to fake statement miracles. He was arrested, he confessed everything. And at the end, when he was on bail, the people, they were rejoicing, throwing, pouring in powder. His people were celebrating, they were happy. Because there is woe on that land. The other one that confessed, that said it openly, his wife did it, him too, he did back to retaliate. Your wife fornicated. You too, as a pastor, you fornicated too to retaliate. You are telling church, you are telling the assembly of believers. And people are still gathering to come and meet you. That's mass destruction. Mass destruction. There is war in the land. The Bible says, because the king is a child. When the king is a child, the only thing they will be playing with is not sand and mud. They will be playing with sand. You know how little children play. They will carry a palm oil, they will be pouring themselves, they will be jumping. That is what is happening. And you think because they are raking in 100,000, 50,000, 30,000, you think God is there? For we are. It is the land that will suffer, because most of those people, they are marked for destruction. Another spirit, the spirit of error. Poor cell of such, don't even open your door to them. Rather, John said it. Don't open your door if they don't come with the truth. Woe to the land when the king is there. Let's forget whether the... Okay, what about the church in America now? It's not because the king, ecclesiastical king that God placed there, that should be sound in doctrine, because they left sound doctrine and begin to preach I feel good gospel. Is it not now that America, men are marrying men anyhow, even in the church, as bishops and all of that? It is because the kings became children and they began to feed the congregation sand. They are eating mud, they are eating dust, and people are happy. When they gather on a service day, they are just romancing themselves in iniquity. The Bible says, woe to the land when the king is a child. When the king does not understand doctrines of life. When the king does not understand weights. When there are no heavyweights. It is a time when kings goes for battle. It was a time when king goes for battle. But David stayed back on the bed. On the bed, sleeping. God began to tell me that this is the time when kings go to battle. I should not be sleeping, wasting time. It is time I should be laying in store a sure foundation against the time to come, that those around me may lay hold on eternal life. It's not a time to be found on the bed. I don't know the bed you are found on now. You retrospect, your heart will begin to tell you the bed you are in. The bed that can destroy you. You need to come up from that bed and go to battle with the kings. The anointing did not save David in that matter. That thing was the... That was the undoing of David. God forgave him. But then, the child still died. He said, this child is still... The child still... God has forgiven him. And Absalom still divided his kingdom. And David ran to the bush and anointed. Running. This one is no longer from Saul again. It's from his own loins. His own son. Joshua, he go for a warrior like David. Run go bush. He knows what he saw. Huh? God raised Absalom to challenge. Well, let me not say God raised. Who knows? But Absalom was raised to challenge. Absalom took the heart of Israel. Absalom. The Bible said the heart of all Israel went after Absalom. He was very fine to look upon. Because a king like David went to interfere in civilian affairs. A king that is supposed to be military everywhere was found in civilian affairs, looked at another man's wife, collected them, killed them, and the land suffered. Israel suffered because of that thing David did. If you begin to take the responsibility of your family, many things will be said. When something bad goes in your family, you have to have this mind that, Lord, this is my fault. Why didn't I stop this in the spirit? That's the kind of mind you should have. Woe to the land when the king is a child. What we are saying here is to help us to save our generation from fighting useless wars. Wars that we don't need to fight. We need to know that it's a time when kings go for battle. I don't know if I've told us this. At a point during the Nigerian Civil War, my father's younger brother was to fight on the side of the Biafran army. He refused to come out. My father went out to fight, carried his gun, order of his brothers. This particular one refused to come out. It was not the Nigerian army that came to kill him. It was the village itself. They saw you, no one come out. They killed him. They said because he did not come to fight, he died. My father told me the story. At the time when kings go for war, you need to prepare yourself and also go for war. We need to prepare and go for war. When we are going for this war, we must put on the entire armor of God. We must take on the entire armor of God. The ancient Christian symbol was not cross. It was not fish like some history says. The ancient symbol of Christianity then was anchor. Do you know what anchor means? I don't know if we know what anchor is. Anchor. You know that this thing they use for ships. Anchor was the ancient symbol for Christianity. That word anchor, if you check the Greek word in the New Testament in Ephesians 6:10, look at Ephesians 6:10. Let me show you something there in Ephesians 6:10. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10. The Bible says, finally my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, put on the whole armor of God. Verse 11, he said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy. That anchor itself is ankura, ankurios, and it means in the Lord. In the Lord. The word anchor was derived from the word in the Lord. In the Lord. Look at that Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. That word there means anchor. Anchor. And curious in the Lord. The armor of God is our anchor. When we put on the armor of God, we are putting on Jesus. So when believers were seen, when they used anchor, it meant that I am in the Lord. And curious, I am found in the Lord. When you are found in the Lord, you are also found fighting the battles of the kingdom too. Fighting the battles of the kingdom. Because every king is designed to be a warrior. No real king will tell you that he has not seen wars before. Because the king will stand to defend the kingdom with all his life. He will stand to defend the kingdom. So God has made us kings and priests unto our God. There are some people that will catch the revelation and say, wow, I'm a king, I'm a priest. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm a king, I'm a priest. You are carrying it. You are catwalking with the revelation. Yeah, I'm a king, I'm a priest. You're catwalking, you are doing with the revelation. The revelation is for you to have identity. in the war you are fighting, that you are fighting as a king. Not I'm a king, I'm a priest in the kingdom. You are dressing half naked and walking around saying, I'm a king, I'm a priest. That one is an offer. That's a portrait of an offer. I'm a king, I'm a priest. You are telling lies. You are not rugged in the Lord. What the Bible is saying is that the revelation is something we take for the battle. Knowing that we are kings, Jesus being the King of Kings, he said, we shall reign on the earth. So the battle is something the Lord has won for us. So we are fighting from victory to victory. The victory has already been won. God wants you to walk in that revelation and to contend for it. Civilian kings. When David played a civilian, David suffered injuries. God does not want us to suffer those injuries. Even though God forgave David. David had bruises that he did not recover from. I'm sorry to say. David had bruises. If you ask him one thing, he regrets in his life. David will tell you that he regrets not going for the battle when it was time for kings to go to war. He will not tell you that he regrets sleeping with Bathsheba, because the beginning of the sorrow was not to go for the battle when it was time for the kings. That's why the Bible says, remember now thy creator in the days of your youth. When the evil days have, there are evil days when they have not come. Remember now. It is now that we have to pay price. If there is something called prayer, this is time to be praying. If there is something called fasting, this is time to be fasting. If there is something called waiting upon the Lord, this is time to be waiting on the Lord. Because if you play civilian in this matter, it's not just you I'm concerned about, the Lord, but the land where you are standing. The people God has designed you to be a blessing. Maybe there is a profession God has designed for you to be, and you are not growing in good development in that. You are just there. No growth at all. You are just in one place. It's that destiny that we suffer, and people you are supposed to bless that we suffer. Woe to thee, O land, when the king is a child and thy princes eat in the morning. When the princes gathered, what they knew first thing in the morning was to drink beer. There are some set of people, I've said it before, when they wake up first thing in the morning, it's one joint you find them. They are discussing useless things. I see this, I will say, there is woe. When you stay in that assembly of people discussing nonsense, check those people, though. Except divine intervention comes, nothing becomes of them. They die wasted. Their land is famished. Their land suffers famine, drought. No rain comes to the land because the king is a child. Rise up on your feet. I know that as you are here listening to me, seated here, I know that as you are listening to me in any part of the world, as far as you are in Christ Jesus, you are a king. But the matter we are talking is not your kingship. It is whether you are still playing a child. Are you still a baby in spiritual matters? A baby in spiritual matters. The only scripture you know is John 3:16. That's the only one you know. You are a child. You are not skillful with the words of righteousness. You are a child. We're going to say, Lord, help us to grow into our reality as kings. Can you go ahead and pray this prayer? Because it is more important, it is more strategic than for me to begin to proclaim and prophesy and say, receive this and that. If you can gain integration and alignment in this matter, I am telling you, the land will be green. Say, Lord, help me to grow into my reality as a king. Lord, help me to grow into my reality. I have a 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 reality. I am a king. I am a priest. Kababushi kadeni asai. Leko sevri makan joni mas kavali atakwase. Erika kuti makazeni achani amakalo. Rimako vosi enjeni kabalan jeni masuli. Labro sefeni makabaratwa. Lord, help me to grow into my reality.
Father, help me.
I have a reality.
My reality.
For you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. That we may show His praises as kings, as priests, unto our God. Young man, can you pray this prayer for your generation? That may your generation not find you sleeping when you should be at war. May your generation not find you sleeping when you should be solving matters for them. May you not be on the bed. Kabarasuka telia basa. Jakata balaga daga 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 daga. Shiga laga de le daga 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 di.
I refuse to be
inside
the
kingdom. Jeni aga daga daga. Jenege barata kasayani. Zina gada baliri.
I refuse to be inside.
I want to walk in my reality. Say, Lord, help me to walk in my reality. I have a reality. This is not who I am. I am a king and a priest unto God. And I shall reign on the earth. Say, Lord, I shall reign on the earth. I will reign in my generation. Zagalabale, sekalodabaya. This is a time for you to call upon the Lord. Say, Lord, help me to walk in my reality. Help me, Lord, help me. Help me to walk in my reality. Jataka barato sike jemina korobo shika kelia. Rapoko to sike teke rapoko sukate. Leproko sukate ma sika teli ma sika teli. Reke shika balade. Shika naga de bali.
Angola masunda la batabaya. Shika de breke balataya. Rika koski na namande brade basa.
Help me to walk in my reality. This is not who I am. This is not who I am. For I am a king and a priest unto God. And I shall reign on the earth. I shall reign in dominion. I shall reign in authority. Shekata barushika tema rushika teria le prekusedia la. Can I help you to walk in my reality? I have a reality. I am a king. As I go for the wars of God, I come back with victory. I come back with victory. Victory on every side. Victory on every side. I am born for victory. I fight the wars of God. Maliketi sika jeria. Rekete kezeke deke levedi. Shaka demala. Entegele mene mene gele gedi. In Jesus' name, listen to me. The scripture says in Luke chapter 2, verse 34. Hear me. He said, and Simon blessed them and said unto Mary, the mother of Jesus, behold, this day, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. This child is set for a fall and the rising of many. God has set you for the rising of many and for the fall of many. How do I mean? God has set you. The scripture says here in Luke 2:34 that the child is set for the fall and rising of many in Israel. God has both set you for the fall and the rising of many. It's not a fall of humans, but the fall of powers contending against the glory of God in your family, in your generation. He said he has set the child for a fall of many, so that the affliction your generation is passing through, that God will use you to fall it up, and the rise of many, that many souls will rise into glory, that many souls will rise into the commonwealth of God. You are for the fall and the rise of many. That is who you are. That is your reality. But you need to know this and put it into effect. You are for the fall of evil forces, of wickedness, of unrighteousness, and you are for the rising of many. God wants to use you for the rising of many. I receive testimonies from all over the world, different people testifying, saying, man of God, this message blessed me. I wouldn't have been this, but by revelation of this message, this and that, I said, indeed, God has made me for the rising of many. In your place of career, in your place of assignment, God has made you for the rising of many and for the fall of anything that is not of God. Go ahead and say, Lord, I am here for the rising of many. I am here for the rising of my generation. I am here for the rising of my generation. Say, Lord, I am here for the rising of my generation. I am not here for nothing. You cannot be here for nothing. You cannot be here for nothing. Say, Lord, I am here for the rising of my generation. I am here for the rising of my generation. Help me to know why I am here. Help me to know why I am here. God does not just need to let you know why you are here, but by the revelation that you are hearing, it is making it clear why you are here. This is your reality. This is who you are. You are not a civilian king. You are a king in dominion. You are a king in authority. You are a king in power. That is who you are. Not a civilian to be found on the bed of romance. Not to be found on the bed of iniquity. You are a king and a priest unto God. That is who you are.
God, through his servant, Apostle Christian Nwoke, has just delivered to you a message from heaven. Now you are blessed and empowered to lead a victorious life by the power of the risen Christ. Amen.
For your programs, bookings, crusade, and testimonies, message us on WhatsApp with +234 7032469360. You can follow Apostle Christian Nwoke on Facebook. Download our messages through the following platforms: www.foreshare.com, or by messaging us on WhatsApp. You can also get the messages on our Telegram and YouTube channel by searching Apostle Christian Nwoke. Visit our website www.ghsermons.com for more information.
You can also spread the gospel we preach by becoming a kingdom partner with us through your love offerings. Kindly kindly message us on WhatsApp with +234 703 246 9360 to become a partner.
We are God's Army Global, bringing the fullness of God to every man and taking as numberless as the sand by the seashore to heaven with us, even you.
Thank you.